Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Harry's. For a free trial set, go to harrys.com/filthycasuals.
Also this week, we're brought to you by ShipStation.com. Do you sell online? Then you need ShipStation. And you can go to ShipStation.com and get a free 30-day trial or just 30 days for free. Everything's a trial though, really, isn't it? If you're finding it difficult like this. And you can use the promotion code CASUALS and you get a 30 days for free at ShipStation.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilow. You also have...
Ben Vanille. Happy New Year, video games! Everyone, and it's episode 116, mm-hmm. And my name is Bruce Springsteen.
Everyone has already heard us say Happy New Year, though.
I don't care. This is the first episode being recorded in the new year, and it's a new year, and it's an old me.
For the listeners, no time has passed, but it's been nigh on about a month since we've seen each other.
Yeah.
No.
Best month of my life.
It's been like 3 weeks.
It was a real 30-day trial for me.
Yeah. Oh, and that's Adam Knox. Yes.
Yeah, that's me. Hello.
Yes.
We're back.
We're back, baby.
The Gremlins are back for Gremlins 2, the better film.
Yes, the new year. We did a bunch of special episodes. We did our Game of the Year. We did our 2018 preview. A few band camps, a few Patreons in there, but now we're back after a hiatus.
I need to know your fucking life story, mate.
Well, it's our life story.
It's also technically your life story as well.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to hear about it. It brings back a lot of shit.
I only look forward.
I don't need to hear about it again.
Yeah.
Boy, that last week's episode, we did that so long ago, I can't remember. I plugged it to it on Twitter. I can't remember a damn thing that happened in it, I have to say.
Yeah, it was a bit of a loose one from memory. And we talked about, I think, sporting matches and cooking mostly.
Or I made a big list of games. I put a lot of effort into that episode.
I guess I've totally forgot it as well.
Is that what that was about?
Yeah.
Right.
About two dozen different things that I scoured the internet for.
Of what, though?
I had to get Anthem... And then
what was this topic of it?
Last week?
Yeah.
Games we were looking forward to.
Oh, games.
This year.
Oh, games.
I thought we were just like resolutions and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when you said cooking, that sounds familiar. I want to try and eat better this year.
Yeah, me too.
I thought that's what we did.
Yeah. I'm trying to eat the same.
You're trying to eat the same.
I just don't want to get worse again.
Okay.
I've been on a 5-year spiral.
Set the bar at exactly eye level.
Yeah, if I can maintain, then I will probably be in a better place than I would have been if I weren't consciously trying.
Right. I'll be honest. When I say better, that's better than the slow spiral downwards.
Yeah.
I just want to maintain.
Just arrest the spiral, basically. Yeah.
I'm fine with this. Yeah. If this is as good as it gets, I could live with that.
If it's as good as it gets or as worse as it gets.
When I say I want to eat better, I meant to say butter.
You want to eat butter?
I want to eat more butter.
Very good.
And you think you can stick to that?
Like oh, man, butter. Not with a bunch of butter all over me. I'm going to be slipping all over the place.
Butter's slippery.
Butter's
so
slippery
you're
as hell,
in
man.
Butter, which is making it harder for you to get your hands on more butter. You want to eat the butter,
yeah.
But you're covered in it and you can't get to your fridge because you keep slipping over every time you stand up.
Yep.
Wow, this sounds like...
Wilson's Conundrum. That's what it's called. There was a man named Wilson who tried to eat a bunch of butter. It's Wilson's Paradox.
Nice.
Very nice.
Butterface?
Yeah, butter bing, butter boom.
Yeah.
We should mention...
Joey Butterfoucault.
We should mention that all of us have comedy festival. We are all comedians. We should make that clear.
Not me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the other resolution. Eat the same and don't do comedy anymore.
keep the comedy at a nice plateau. That's what I'm aiming for. We all have shows on sale for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Mm. You boys are in Chimp Cop, which runs for the whole month.
Do you know what a helicopter sounds like at breakfast?
What?
Butter, 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 butter. It's that's like the rotors going around and around.
Yeah, butter, but butter's in like heaps of butter isn't just a breakfast thing. Butter's in heaps of stuff.
Mm. Butter, 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 swing, butter, 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 swing, butter, butter. That's pretty good. I'm in Chimp Cop. I like how you said we're both in Chimp Cop, like we're cast members of this big kind of production, and we're just a small part of the big show.
Well, you've both been kicked out of the Rocky Horror Show, so this is all you have left.
That's true. That's false. Yeah, we're in Chimp Cop. It's called The Death of Chimp Cop, and it's not our last show, despite that name.
Oh, are you already getting a bit of that?
We got a bit of it when we announced the name, when we presented the name to the world.
People are going to be very surprised when we do Chimp Cop's Ghost next year.
Yeah. Well, following on from that, I'm doing a show for just 11 nights only called Leisure Suit Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a lot of questions about, will there be full frontal nudity? Which
you're getting a lot of questions about if it's video games related. It's not. It's just a weird title.
It is. It is video games related.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So I'm doing a show called This Show Is Good and Funny, Attendance Appreciated. And I'm getting a lot of questions asking, is that really the name you picked?
Again, reminiscent of last year.
I like picking long names.
Yeah.
Mm. Joey Butterfuco.
So those are all on sale, I think, at the moment at comedyfestival.com.au, or we'll be putting the links up on our social media stuff.
Yes.
We had a lot of filth come down to see our respective shows last year.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful.
It was
lovely to
nice.
Meet you guys. And yeah, mine is going to have a bunch of video gamey kind of jokes in it, which I have a sneaking suspicion may be pertinent to the interests of people who listen to this little podcast.
Yeah. So come along.
Mm. Great. There's not much news to speak of. I think, boy, this is going to be tough to record these for about the next month, I'd say.
Yeah.
Nothing much in the way of news or new releases.
No.
There's kind of nothing happening in January until the end when a bunch of shit comes out all at the same time again.
Yeah. Right.
But
Monster Hunter World, is that end of Jan?
And that Dragon Ball game.
Oh, yes.
Come out on the same day. And I'm pumped about both of them. They look great.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I hadn't watched too much of it apart from the mic test video that we did.
Mm.
But I did a pretty deep dive on some Monster Hunter videos the other day. And boy, oh boy, I am all the fuck in.
Yeah, nice.
It looks really cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
What I don't get is I hear that it's notoriously difficult combat to understand. Now, it doesn't really look that way from the videos. I don't quite get... It looks pretty, like, button-mashy from the videos.
Right.
I don't get what's so complex about it. I know there's a lot of different weapons, but...
Yeah. There's a beta happening either this weekend or the next that you could give it a go, and it's like an open-access thing on the PS4. It's basically a demo.
Yep.
It kind of works almost like a fighting game a little bit, where each of the different weapon types has a really different kind of control scheme, and you have to kind of know your way around each one. So it takes a little bit of time to get used to it, but once you are...
But do you need to use all of them, or can you just go, this is the one I'm using, I'm going to learn this and stick to this?
You can do that. Some of them work better in different situations or whatever, but you can use any of them at any time, basically.
Visually, it looks stunning.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be so good.
Yep.
So exciting. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That Dragon Ball game looks cool. We did all this last week, I just realized.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But that's, So I guess what January is for most of it for us is catching up on old games.
Yes.
Which I've been doing a lot of, and I think you guys have too.
Yeah. Well, post our Game of the Year app, I had a little bit of time over the Christmas New Year break, and I funneled all of it into Persona 5.
Mm.
Which I've now played over double the amount that I had played when I named it one of my games of the year.
Yes.
And now I fucking hate it. No, I like it more and more.
Yeah.
Fucking really great.
Yeah, I finished it a couple of days ago.
Right.
And I was mentioning in the chat that it was kind of getting tedious. Tommy was just ribbing me for it. Saying, you fucking love this game and you're getting sick of it, but it... What I did was kind of the same thing. I put about a week of my holidays into playing Persona 5. And once you have played it for, 5 days in a row without really doing much else, it does kind of slow down. But like anything would.
Anything does,
It sort of dips around that like fifth Dipsish palace where, yeah. or like, not dips, but the pace of it gets pretty routine
yes.
yeah. around that point. So, yeah, yeah that bit especially is something that's a little hard to just kind of muscle through.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling, though. Too, oh, yeah. like, when you know the number of hours that it takes to finish it. That's the thing, like, keep hearing when you go in, 100 hours. And, like, every time you open your save file, it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's pretty linear. Like, there's not a lot of room for fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty much like, it just really does feel like you're going to work. You're yeah. sitting there watching that number go up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just hoping to knock off a couple in a row to edge closer to 100.
Yeah.
Like, it does start to feel a little bit like a job at yeah. a certain point.
It's the fact that it's reminding you
every time you turn it on exactly how many hours you've done. There's never any like mistaking. Here's exactly what percentage I'm at.
I quite like that though. I wish that I had that in every element of my life where I could just know exactly how much time,
like a watch,
I needed to,
or a planner, or using your calendar. Or
no, it's impossible.
Just
no wonder you're late all the time. You don't understand how it works.
You have to look up at the sun and guess. It's just really difficult to know when to do things.
I did, like, when I was playing it, because, like, I basically played half of it over 6 months, the other half over 6 days.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did as well.
And for the first 6 months where I played, you know, a couple hours a week at most, I really liked that pacing and that, yeah, that kind of very deliberate and planned out kind of pace. And it's my fault for playing it for 6 days in a row. Like, I don't think it's meant to be played like that.
Yeah. It's a weird one. Yeah.
This alcohol stuff, if you have too much of it, you start to feel really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird one because you get into it and you do just want to, you do just want to kind of do all of it.
Totally.
And also, knowing that it's going to take that long, there is kind of an element of it where you sort of go, oh, I just want to finish it. I just want to see all of it and kind of get to the end and be done with it. But that's kind of not, it's like, I've been having to make myself get used to, like, you're probably still going to be working on it at the end of this year.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably just going to sit in the background. And I feel like I left a pretty big gap in coming back to it. And it feels pretty easy to, it cues you kind of all the way through. Like, there's not really, you're not doing button combos and stuff that you forget. It's all there when you're in combat, what to do.
The combat specifically, it's like, you can't, there's no like feel to get back into. It's just like, a menu.
Mm. The one thing is I kind of tend to forget what bufu means and all of that sort of stuff. Like,
it's ice, baby.
Bufu is ice, but ice, which baby. I can't even, it's Zorba and whatever the other ones are.
Zyodyne, yeah.
But they've got the little icons next to them.
Yeah.
They do.
And they're also, like, they're the same as all RPGs. They're like, you know, lightning, ice, fire,
rock, paper,
wind.
Scissors.
Yeah. Whereas Sleeping Dogs was a game that I talked about before where I played a lot of it, really liked it, took a break, and the melee combat is such specific combos that once you're out of that kind of, you know, once you've lost that kind of muscle memory of exactly how to do them when you're playing it a lot, you just kind of can't go back in.
Yep. Even
and it's
switching,
hard to look up again.
Switching between shooting games that have different control schemes are really, it's really hard to kind of, you got to pick one and kind of focus on it.
But one thing we didn't talk about when we mentioned it in the Game of the Year episode that is such a cool part of it, the hold-up thing that you can do in the combat.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
I mentioned to you afterwards. It's, fuck, it's great. Like,
yeah, that's true. There's a lot more nuances and intricacies of those systems than we remember to talk about because they all seem very natural as you're playing them. But there's like the hold up stuff, the talking to your enemies and capturing them or getting items off them instead of having to fight them.
It never felt useful to get items off of them or to get money. Like the stuff they gave you was so worthless most of the time.
I found the SP items very valuable.
Yeah, right.
I never get them though.
Yeah, I never found who to get them off of, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah.
It is an interesting little dance where maybe this is just something I haven't worked out, but I'm pretty bad at getting them to give me their power. Like because you clearly have to say it, you have to talk to them in a certain way. Otherwise, they either just get pissed off and give you items or they attack you again.
Right.
And I feel like I'm kind of always doing it wrong.
I don't think I ever failed that. I honestly didn't think you could.
Right.
You got to pick because you get the three options and you got to do three different stages of it.
Okay.
So you can fail that absolutely.
Oh,
you've got
to
second guess what they're trying to think.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess I just thought we were having a conversation.
Yeah, right.
And I was trying to be as pleasant as possible.
But that's the thing is some of them, they want you to be a bit grumpy with them.
Right.
They want you to be like, hey, fuck you, old man. And then they're like, you got spunk, kid.
Right. Okay.
So these interactions Ben's getting it right every time, yep. and I'm getting it wrong every time. Which one of us is fucked? Because there's no way both of us are normal people who are able to interact in the real world and both have those outcomes in this game.
Well, I am not the least bit surprised that Ben found it very natural to talk to a computer.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Half of them are barely speaking English at you. Like, they talk in this weird kind of broken, almost pig Latin. It's impossible to work out what
they're
saying.
I can see the numbers. I can see the matrix.
Ben's got his dick stuck in the PS4 like R2-D2, wiggling it back and forth.
Yeah, sometimes it sparks and I get blown across the room, so to speak.
Oh, that was a bad R2-D2.
I felt dumb, but also very vindicated, like, saying that it was on my top five of the year. I hadn't even gotten up to the bit when I said that where you're in the metaverse and you're driving the cat around like a fucking bus.
Yeah.
Which I thought was such a great little great little twist when you sort of think like, okay, here's the pattern, and then it kind of at whatever that is, like 10 hours or something, kind of throws that at you.
Yeah. And it throws new shit at you the whole time, whether it's in a story way or in a gameplay way.
Yeah, new characters which have new abilities. Like, it just keeps evolving.
And that thing of it being so long, it is structured a lot like a TV series where you can watch it over a course of a long time and still keep up with it, come back to it, and it reminds you where you're up to, sort of.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of people sort of ask, not a lot of people, but some people.
Yeah.
What does a lot mean? You know, how many would you classify as being a lot? What number? I guess it's contextual.
15,000.
15,000?
Yeah.
We had a lot of people asking us.
Yeah,
then.
We did. Yeah. Every single one of our. Yeah.
About like whether if you had a small amount of time to play games in, it's still good. And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think so, because of what I was saying, where you can go back to it and it's never. You don't feel like you've forgotten everything by taking a bit of a gap. And it is so linear. Aside from some battles where you get your ass kicked a little bit and you kind of it takes you a few goes to get through.
Yep.
And also the fact that there's no auto-saving stuff. Aside from those two things, it is pretty easy to just kind of...
Yeah,
it's sit down, you just knock an hour of it off.
The thing with auto-saving, it's very good that you can just suspend the PS4. I never trust that. I always think that maybe the power's going to go off or whatever and I'll lose it. But there's no reason any game today shouldn't have a... Let me just come back to this later. Like, I'm not saving it to have this and go back and cheat. I'm just leaving for a while.
It is frustrating because a couple of times I've sort of sat down with, 20 minutes, half an hour or whatever before I've had to go out and then gone, man, I don't want to do all this again. And I live in a share house where other people use the PlayStation, so I kind of can't suspend it.
Yeah.
Like, it is kind of frustrating. It's like, why isn't there just a fucking button I can press to just...
Your big bully housemate keeps coming up and go, get off the PlayStation.
Yeah, so we can play Gran Turismo. It's an actual thing that happens.
There's a lot about Persona 5 that reminds me of kind of like my favorite JRPGs where... Yeah, the story's kind of gets very silly and overblown, and there's like different realities and stuff. Mm. There's dedicated save points, like all that kind of stuff is kind of very old-fashioned JRPG, which I love.
But it really is like it for how dumb and stuff the story is. It really is like I from one minute to the next. I kind of don't really know what's going to happen. Like, I'm really invested in what's coming up. It's like...
It's very, like, sincere and kind of heartfelt. And like, quite emotionally thick story with two C's. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
hell yeah, brother.
Like, it's got a lot of heart to it.
Oh, well, the whole fact that, like, the reason you're in this town in the first place is because you kind of stood up to this guy who you saw harassing a woman in the street, and then that's kind of an undercurrent of all of it. Like,
at no point does that make sense. Where they're like, you fuckhead, why'd you do that? Get out of here. Like, they all treat you like shit.
Yeah.
It's really
weird. Yeah. But I still in the back of my head is you guys mentioning a bit at the beach where there's where there's some very dodgy anime stuff.
Yeah.
And I reckon once I've seen that, I'm out. I don't know what it is. I'm just waiting to get up to that bit.
Yeah.
As soon as I see some sand, then I'm excited.
Oh boy.
I'm looking forward to it.
I can gladly say that the ending's fantastic.
Yeah, good.
And
I was going to ask you about that.
I'm looking forward to... What I'm going to do probably is start it again and play it very slowly again. I would dip in every now and then.
I would wait because...
You would wait?
They've brought out another version of each of the more recent Persona games since.
Oh, that's true.
So there was like Persona 3, Fez, and
Persona
then 4,
Golden.
And 5, Crimson is like the thing they're calling it, but it's not been announced or anything.
Yeah, okay.
But there's a good chance they'll do an updated... more content version in the future.
Right, okay. Because I don't know about you, Knox, but I didn't max out a lot of my social links.
Right.
So I...
What about in the game?
It's still the best joke
it's
in 2018.
Still good. Yes. It's still good. Thank God. Thank God. If that had been bad in 2018, yeah. I don't know what I would have done.
It just falls flat for some weird...
cosmic reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone else got the memo but me. Yeah. What the fuck?
But I am keen to just kind of go in and max it out. Like, really... figure out how to spend every like bit of every day on, you know, maxing out. Like, even skills and stuff, I didn't get, you know, I didn't max all of them out.
I did all of the, like, guts and everything were all at 5.
Yeah,
and
right.
All but, like, 2 or 3 of the social links were at full.
See, I only got a few. I was, like, 4 in all the stats.
Did you spend a lot of time fishing and doing baseball and stuff?
Yeah, yeah, and working jobs and stuff, like eating burgers, like just getting those stats up rather than...
You don't ever really need to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple of times when to get some, like, mementos things you do, but, like, you can mostly avoid that stuff.
It is really weird where, like, the bit that I'm at, it feels like it's going to just kind of let you loose in the town and you can, from day to day, do what you want.
Yeah.
And you'll sort of do that for one day, but then a story beat comes up. And all of a sudden, 3 days go past where it's like, no, you meant to, and it's kind of all just rolling along.
Yep.
And it's kind of such a bizarre pace where it sort of lets you do stuff freely for like a tiny little bit, and you go, oh, okay, this is the game now.
Right.
And then it just chucks you right back on rails. And I don't necessarily mind that, but it is jarring where it's like, okay, how much, like in my head at this point that I'm at, I'm like, so how much of this stuff am I meant to have done at this point? Because I've sort of done it when I can. Like, I've gone off and gone, oh, okay, I'll go to work or I'll go and eat a burger or whatever, but I haven't really had a lot of... I've done a lot of studying just because you end up... It just sends you back to the house at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, the desk is just there.
It almost operates on such a large scale, like, that the gameplay loop is like study and work and you know, go hang out with your mates for like 4 days and then go do some action stuff and then there's a story beat and it's back to the routine and that kind of repeats.
It does that like 7 times.
Yeah.
But it is weird when it's like you, like a story thing happens and you're in your room and you go downstairs, go, oh, I'll study and try and get those knowledge points up and the cat's like,
yeah,
we've got a big day tomorrow. It's like, why am I letting a fucking cat tell me that I'm not going to study?
I know.
Of course you want to sleep. You're a cat. I don't run in the same functions as you. Our bodies are different. I can go out.
That starts to happen a lot more towards the end.
Yeah.
You'll like have a story beat and then you're like, go to sleep, story beat, go to sleep. Yeah. A lot of the routine stuff kind of goes away.
You sure you
want
to go out today? I think we should go in a coma for 3 days.
Yeah. But fuck, it's good. And I kind of just want to start it again because I've forgotten how it started and
totally
I'm keen to play this Crimson or whatever.
That's just a hypothetical thing at this point, but I'm assuming they will follow the same pattern because they're putting out those dancing Persona games. There'll be another fighting one at some point.
Are they linked to did it come out on, it didn't, it's just a Sony thing, right?
Only on PlayStation.
There's other of like the brought it, what's it called, Shin Megami Tensei series,
right,
on like 3DS.
3DS,
But yeah, it's all the Persona games have been on PlayStation things.
Yep. Right. It's definitely something where I'd love to finish it, and then if it ever came out on the Switch, would be the perfect. I would definitely play it again.
Yeah.
Through on.
That's not crazy. It came out on the PS3, so like that it could hypothetically run on that hardware.
I don't think it could totally run. It's just whether they, if they've not really done anything with this series with Nintendo, whether they would. But
Who knows? Future man, I can't predict it. If I could, would I still be here? Maybe.
Have a crack right now. What do you think will happen in 1 week?
In 1 week? Well, the bare naked ladies will eat some Chinese chicken.
Wow.
Yeah.
Finally, they get around to it.
That's what happens in, what happens in 1 week.
Did they mention that they were going to eat it? Or they just say it,
I think
if
you bring
right?
up chicken, you've implied that...
Yeah.
Speaking of chicken, I play more PUBG over the... Because when you win, you get a chicken dinner.
Oh.
That game's still fucking sick.
Okay.
Something else that I finished over the little break there was Nier Automata.
Sure.
Thank you for finally pronouncing it correctly.
They say it.
Do
At
they?
One point in the game,
oh, really?
Somebody says automata. I was like, aha,
Was it Con the Fruiterer?
Yeah.
Oh, tomato.
My daughter's oh, tomato, oh, tomari, oh, tomato.
I say it or tomato.
I fucked up not putting that game in my top five a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you went on social media to declare that.
Yeah, the most valid and important place to say any opinion.
Yeah.
It's really fucking good. And it's also fucked. It's a weird game. Like,
What was it that held you off putting it on your top five that now that you've seen makes you regret it not being on there?
So you have to play through it two times before it gets great.
Okay.
It's really weirdly structured.
Yeah.
And once it recontextualizes those first couple of times from what happens afterwards, it brings them up in a way you go, I understand why they did this.
Right.
But it does make that initial slog a bit of a slog. Yeah. The game is fun, but it's kind of just a little broken enough and a little kind of budgety enough that it didn't really quite hit with me. And the story...
It felt a bit like an indie. If it had come out as an indie, people would have gone bananas for it.
Yeah.
With lower expectation and a bit lower price point.
Well, so after I finished it, I looked more into this sort of series and everything. And this is kind of a higher quality than they've been.
Right.
Because Platinum coming on board and giving them more money and stuff like that. And the story becomes a lot more interesting, and the way that it's told through it being a game and in very this can only be done in a game sort of ways.
Yeah, is it sort of like shifting perspective and stuff like that?
If you want nothing spoilery at all, skip a few seconds.
I'll say before we move on to the spoilery bits, I've played... People have told me, before I even started playing it, you got to finish a bunch of times. And I was like, oh, cool, it'll be short then. I'm still, 9 hours in and I haven't finished it yet.
That will be almost at the end of the first time through. And if you've been doing a lot of the side quests, they don't recur.
Yeah, okay.
So it not each of them is equal length of the playthroughs. And
it's just a shame that you can be playing a game for 9 hours and being like... enjoying the concept or some of the early concepts and gameplay stuff, but then really slogging through it. And I really don't have a desire to keep going at this point.
But also hearing that you're just around the corner from it really clicking
well,
in.
Well, you're not, because so there's A, B, C, D, and E. There's five main ones.
Right.
A and B are pretty similar.
Right.
And B does some cool stuff, but B is the hardest one to get through.
Right.
And then C, D, and E, you're like, oh, sick.
Right.
I was really enjoying it, but in preparation, and I said this at the time for the Game of the Year episode, I kind of went, I can devote more time to this or Persona, I really feel like Persona is the one that's going to win out and be on my list. I kind of aesthetically liked it all more.
Yeah.
But I was loving just the combat and everything.
I don't think there's any I don't think it's wrong of someone to go, I think this is structured poorly.
Right.
I think that's totally valid and a perfectly fine reason to stop playing it. But the stuff that's in there, I don't think would have the same impact if you're just watching it on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
So, but the ending of it is one of the coolest things I've seen a game do.
Right.
What about if you had to rank it against everything you've ever seen? Gaming or otherwise?
Number three.
Wow. Number three.
Yeah. Number one.
Tits.
Number
two,
come
puss.
On. Number one, the smile on a
Grow
baby's
up.
Face. When number two,
a sweet pair of tits.
Yeah, I guess so, because that's nature. That's the circle of life.
Well, it's food. It knows it's getting some food, sustenance.
Number two, the U-bend, an amazing piece of engineering.
Okay.
What is the Autobahn rank for you?
73.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you want to go through all of them?
It's relatively
yes,
high.
Please.
Here we go. Let's do a Nier Automata style list. Where
so it's not going to be good until the end.
No.
It's going to be a real slug.
Yeah,
it's a
weird fucking game, man. And that world doesn't become interesting or contextualized enough to be interesting.
Yeah, right.
Until it's shown you more later on.
Right.
So it's a very weird thing.
It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, I really like the sound of what it's trying to do, but I guess that's the hard thing with a game where, you know, a movie can have, you know, it can sort of have a lot of stuff going on that it really only justifies at the very end, and you go, oh, okay, fuck, that's cool, that's why they were doing all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the presumption is, well, it's 2 hours of your life, you're sitting down, presumably you're in the cinema, you're locked in.
Yeah.
Whereas a game, it's like...
You're standing up.
Everything, literally everything is different.
Yes.
The lights are on full blast, right in your eyes.
You may just never make it to that point. Yeah, and I guess that's the risk that... That must be... I wonder how much that factors in your head when you're making a game of like what percentage of people are just not going to make it through this product that you're working on.
I think it's a totally valid thing. I don't have the patience to take in most like... art as in paintings to enjoy them.
You hate photography.
I find visual art in that context to be boring.
Yeah.
I went to the gallery at the NGV, the National Gallery.
The triennial thing?
Yeah.
How good is it? Did you not like it?
I was bored most of the time.
You didn't like the...
It was fine, but like I just don't get it. It's
Well, I will say all this stuff that's... Quick plug for the NGV in Melbourne. I thought the triennial stuff was all great. Like that, what's it name? The house with all the flowers in it.
No. It was like walking through IKEA. That was really silly.
IKEA's great.
Yeah.
But it's not like...
But I brought my own meatballs. That's the difference.
I think there's a disconnect that I have between the amount of weight in the brilliance of this thing that people seem to be putting into it versus what I'm getting out of it that makes me a bit annoyed.
Right.
I'm like, there's a bunch of stickers in here. Sick.
Right.
For context, do you know anything about it, Ben? It's this
I've
artist,
seen the photos.
I'm blanking on her name, and she's recreated a whole house.
Right.
And you get given a sticker of a flower when you go in, and you can put it anywhere.
Right.
And of course, at this point, I really wanted to put mine somewhere. Like, I want it to be unique. I wanted to put mine on the first, you know, this is just where mine is. This is a unique spot. And by this point, you can't. Like, I'm lifting up the toilet seat. I'm going all over the place.
Yeah.
It's really, but like, you're having to settle and go, I can put it there and I'm leaving my little mark.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was cool.
And it makes you feel a little bit insignificant and it makes you think, wow, look at all these stories that have unfolded in here.
Yeah.
And all of that. But you get that same thing from being in the fucking Swanston Street McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, look at all this shit that's gone on in here.
It's closed down now, for one.
Well, exactly. So,
which makes why this house exists.
It makes it more beautiful and temporary because it's gone. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I guess in that way, the Swanston Street McDonald's is kind of like an art installation because now it's
completely
gone. It's moved on.
And most art, I find the point that it's trying to make is something where, like, that's the answer every time to me. I'm
a scientist who thinks he's smarter than everyone.
It doesn't bother. It doesn't get to me.
See,
one that was really cool because it was very technically impressive of like this stencil on a wall that was like this kind of grey lead.
Oh yeah, stencil, you told me about that.
And it had some sort of shiny bits on it. It was a Japanese guy. I can't remember his name. I don't know if it was a Japanese guy because it was Japan. It was like a Tokyo street corner that he'd filmed and cut all this stuff together and projected this loop, like this 8-minute loop of like a day-night cycle on it. It was really cool.
I didn't pay any attention to that because I will say the one thing I don't like at galleries, I don't like video stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't like this video stuff. It's like not good enough to be a proper short film.
Yeah.
It's just some bullshit going on a loop for 3 minutes.
It always reminds me of when, I don't know if you guys did like visual communications or art in high school.
I did both of them.
You'd do your kind of projects and then a bunch of people from the state would get into the gallery,
top
one of the galleries? Yeah, top arts, yeah. And so you walk around there.
Oh, that was like top acts was the drama one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm. And someone would be sculpture and they'd be really cool and there would be paintings and photos and then there'd be really shitty videos or animations.
Yeah.
Because it was all so early. Mm. The animation tech especially was so shitty at that time.
Totally, yeah.
And it just reminds me of that.
Everything was impressive. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's part of the thing I like about video games. I like it when there's something technically impressive and artistically impressive together.
Yeah, yeah, right. See, because I tend to be okay at like technical stuff, like design and stuff.
Right.
But I'm bad at painting. So I love when I can look at a painting and be like amazed by it for intangible reasons.
You didn't like the chairs? The room with all the different, like the comic book style chairs, where they're all the legs are different.
The metal ones.
Yeah,
it was just like, I'm a Philistine. I'm saying this, but I walked in that room and I said, "Oh, sick, 50 chairs." Like, it's just all it is 50 chairs and each of the legs is slightly different.
Yeah, but they're all like done in. It's like he's made a little
cartoon in 3D. Yeah, but if you got a 6-year-old to draw different chairs, they would draw those chairs.
Yeah, but then this guy made them in the real space.
Yeah, and it would have taken ages.
This is like Frank Grimes arguing with Lenny and Carl about Homer winning the competition.
Yeah.
I bet it took a long time, but it would. So
but
what?
Did you watch the little video of it animated and it, like all of them happened to the like the chair on the wall?
I didn't. I don't know if that was on when I was there because I didn't even see that.
They switch it off sometimes.
In the scratch and sniff.
It was an afterthought.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of where the
you left a bad Yelp review and they went, we got to fucking give this more content.
Yeah. Well, like that was the thing. This guy was like, okay, memory, smells of memory.
Yes.
Go up and scratch and sniff these fucking plates.
Yes.
The smells thing I wasn't into.
I hated it.
We are
all
really
these
going
grubby
in depth.
Little mitts.
We are really going in depth on a thing that a very small percentage of our audience has any access to. What about this? There's a bar in there. Did you like that?
No, I'm not drinking this year.
Fuck.
Fucking hell.
Anyway. You've got to drink to enjoy art. That's what I say.
You got to go check it out, Ben.
Yeah, I will. I'm looking forward to it.
It's kind of cool, but all, like, there's just something about the pomp of art that gets to me.
I'm going to listen to Tommy.
This is now
he seems to be more aligned
now,
with my
now
Visa
I understand
art.
What it's like. I've loved watching you guys argue about The Big Short. Now I understand what it was like to be in it.
Yeah.
This is infuriating.
Anyway, the Nier Automata is good.
Right. And persevere if you feel like it. Right?
Yeah, that was the point, is that the medium that it's in might not be to you, or the way that it uses it might not be to your liking, and that's totally valid. Because
right.
then also, he fucking made two plays that add to the story of it.
Yeah,
we're only in Japanese and in Japan.
Wow.
And there's like bits of story in the fucking collector's edition of Drakengard 2, which came out in 2009 or whatever.
Yeah, wow.
See, I kind of like that.
It's sick,
that's
but also
very
it's,
funny.
It's very fucking inconvenient.
Yes. Yeah. I played a bunch of stuff. I've played the entirety of a game called Doki Doki Literature Club, which was getting a bit of like internet, like, oh, you got to play this, man. You got to play this one.
A lot of people in our Facebook group kind of prodding us to play it.
Are you able to say that game non-goofily? Doki Doki.
I don't think
it sounded
you can
like
say
Fraser
the word.
Crane saying it.
Okie dokie. Doki Doki. I don't know how it's. Yeah.
I think it's Doki Doki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
is it?
So
I downloaded it. I knew you were going to talk about it, and I wanted to at least see sort of very vaguely what it is.
Yeah.
So I played. Right before I came here, I played about half an hour of it.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. So it's like a Japanese anime visual novel style game, like a dating sim visual novel thing. Right.
It is actually Japanese. It's not like a Western thing trying to look like
I think it's
anime.
A Western it's thing trying to look
is
like
it?
Anime.
Is it? Okay,
yeah.
Right.
I think it's this one dude who did the whole thing, got some people to do the drawings for him, but I think it's, this one guy's
okay,
kind of
Is it an
concept.
Adult Swim thing?
No. It's just a game. It's just an indie game. The idea is that it presents itself as an anime visual novel that changes what it is along the way.
So it very much, for me, like, very, very, like, nothing has really happened yet.
Yeah,
I've written one poem.
Oh, yeah,
and at the very start, it really gives you a lot of warnings of, like, not suitable for anyone who's triggered by depression or anxiety or can't handle things. It really...
That's the first thing basically you see is a warning like, this game is not to be played by anyone under the age of 13. It contains extremely disturbing content.
Like Hellblade.
Yeah, right. But
But then all I've done is watch this very cutesy thing about you joining a book club at school.
Yeah.
And so I think, I don't know how much of that warning is like, needs to be there versus is kind of a technique that's, you know what I mean? Because it does, it's impossible to not look at all this stuff that's going on
and
without that in your
with
head
a sense
and go,
of dread.
Colonel, what is going to happen here?
It really uses all of that stuff really well. It's,
right.
I don't know what Nier Automata does towards the end of it to make it so interesting, but if it's playing with the mechanics and even the concepts of playing a game, and interacting with a game.
Yes.
That's what this game does as well.
Okay.
And
how long is this game?
I played it in one sitting, so like a few hours.
Right.
A few hours, I think, at most.
We've just
seven
learned
hours.
What Ben's attention span is. Yeah, I was like, for me, a sitting is like 15 minutes if I'm lucky.
It was like a few hours. Like I purposefully like was like, that's what I'm doing today.
Yeah. Right.
You play through it multiple times, you could say.
Right.
And it really messes with, gaming as a format.
Right.
I've got some issues with it, but I'd be much more keen to discuss them once we've all played it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I reckon I'll have done it by next week.
Yeah, and I recommend it.
For the what listeners, if you've been
Steam.
Thinking of...
Right.
Yeah, but you can also just direct... You can get it on Mac just as a...
Oh, yeah, right.
Straight as a direct download or whatever you call it.
Right, right. It's free as well.
Oh,
well,
really?
Yeah.
Did you pay?
Nah.
Okay, I gave them $10.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I did it through, so it's like Radiohead optional pay.
I just did it through Steam and it was like you could just download it.
Oh, right, so, yeah. On the website, it's like you can pay what you want.
Oh, that's
it's
nice.
It's free, but you can throw them some bones if you like. You're right, that is nice of me.
Yeah, it's it's worth giving a few bones to.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not that you did, but...
I didn't know I could.
Hey, sight unseen, I just gave him a sweet tenner.
Yeah, fuck. Let's talk about it in the future.
Yeah, okay.
It's a good one to talk about.
I think that's probably similar to What Remains of Edith Finch. I played that over the break. That's only like a couple of hours long as well.
Is that... my impression is it's like a walking sim, Dear Esther kind of thing.
Yeah, sort of. And then it's got little sort of mini gamey bits, but it's predominantly just a very linear, go through this in this order story-driven thing. As a broad thing of what I thought about it, I really like it as a product.
Yeah.
And I do not like it as a work of fiction.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a very well-made game, and it does what it's doing very well. And I don't know if I agree with what it has to say as a piece of work.
Right. So if it was a movie, you'd be like, oh, that was well shot, but the story sucked.
It's not that it sucks. It's that I don't know if I agree with what it thinks.
Okay.
Or what I interpret it as having to say. Like,
yeah, okay.
It's got this... I don't want to talk too specifically about it because it's only very short, and I think it is worth playing.
Right.
Okay. But do you think that's a big problem to, you know, even if you don't agree with the stance that something is taking, you can still appreciate that stance? Or do you think it's...
That's what
you
I'm
don't
saying,
agree with it in the sense that it's like, you think it's a bad, irresponsible take?
Not irresponsible, but just a point of view I don't agree with.
Okay.
That it seems to have. Because, like...
I have a suspicion that I know what the topic is, which I could see as being fairly divisive.
It's not that it's divisive. It's very difficult to talk around it without being specific about the...
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to like play through each of these shorter games and do like maybe a bonus thing sometime.
Yeah.
Where we're talking specifically about...
We got some weeks to fill. So.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah.
Maybe just on the regular apps.
Go back and delete you saying bonus out of that sentence, brother, because that's coming up in the next 3 weeks.
I will turn up the word bonus. So I think it's worth playing and it is interesting and I like that type of game and I like what it does with that type of game and there's some really nice moments in it and I would like to talk about the story as a whole at some point more in depth.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, cool.
Anything else to chuck in, Tom?
Or did I played a little bit of Tiny Metal.
Oh, yeah.
Which came out...
Pull me closer. And then the name of that game?
Which was what?
Tiny Metal.
So one of the words.
Yes.
Not even the word that rhymes with dancer.
Might have been the reason I stopped singing poetry.
Now put that in a gallery. I'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
Butter chameleon. Close enough. I'm Weird Al, but close enough. Weird Al.
It's Weird Adam.
He gives up halfway through. Weird Al.
Weird Al.
It's it came out. I think it was. Maybe right before Christmas.
I've never heard of this thing before. What is it?
Okay, so
and I have for a bad reason.
There's two. So there's kind of two sides to essentially what it is.
It was the last word my dad said before he died.
Yeah, I was spying on someone. And
We'll just talk about it as a game by itself first, and then get into the backstory of it because the backstory is pretty interesting.
Mm.
It's basically a clone of Advance Wars, like those that series of games that was on the Game Boy Advance and then the DS, I think they did one or two.
I love those. They were
great. They're great. So this is like basically very much a copy. I don't really remember. I've been years and years since I've played those games, so I don't really remember the specifics, but the reviews that I've read of Tiny Metal stress that it's not just, you know, a reimagining or an homage. It basically is this. It's the same game.
Very heavy bass lines. I remember in the Advance Wars games.
Okay.
In the music.
Yeah.
Right.
Loved a bit of bass.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Flea.
Yeah, slapping it.
He's a
famous... Hold me closer.
No. God. It is.
That's a song known for its bass lines.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers did do a version of that song. It's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, fucking John Frusciante sung it.
He's a great guitarist.
He has a way better voice than Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah.
Really?
Not Elton John. Yeah.
So then if the Red Hot Chili Peppers did a version of it where Frusciante is singing, what's Kiedis doing?
He's just jumping around in his like shirtless with his shorts on.
Jumping around. Home because baby little dancer.
He doesn't do any of that. That would be better. But he's just doing that big dance he did where his legs are really far apart and he's kind of swinging back and forth.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, that's great. Oh, let's get into the studio right now and do what we think without watching the actual version of it, what we think the Red Hot Chili Peppers tiny dancer is.
I love that. I love it a lot. Fuck yeah. So you played the game.
I played the game and I do not really like it. I was really excited. I loved the Advance Wars games back in the day, but it's just, you know what it is? It's a bit of a case of someone going, I'm going to make a version of this, exactly this and what I like about it.
Yeah.
And you kind of realize from you playing it, it's like, oh, what that person liked about these games is kind of different to what I liked about it.
Right.
It's like technically
it's
doing
the
all the
Star
same.
Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new Star Wars movies.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Bit of a hot take
in
there.
In that J.J. Abrams nailed it.
J.J. Abrams Ryan sucked Johnson and Rian Johnson's good.
It. Totally fucked it.
Oh, here we go. It's this year's NGV.
This year's NGV was this year's NGV.
All the technical stuff of it is fine, but it just is missing that certain little extra bit of like charm that the Advance Wars games had for me. There's just
it's that baseline, baby.
Yeah, exactly. That funky baseline. The presentation just isn't there for me by like 50%. It's just kind of hard to, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of hard to properly put into words.
Yeah.
It's just like the things of you, you know, attacking other, you know, your opponent. It just, when you succeed, it just doesn't have that feel to it.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
all the characterization stuff. And it does this weird thing where there's little cutscenes in between the battles where the characters are speaking in Japanese and it's got the text in English, the voices are in Japanese, but then when you're in the game, your little battalions that you send out, they speak in English.
Right.
And like there's like one little class of people that have Aussie accents that are saying all this dumb Aussie stuff.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of a little jarring of like, why is there this dumb Aussie accent? But then it's
like
it's
when you move them, they go like, getting out there, boss, or whatever.
Yeah,
like.
it's all that sort of
classic
stuff.
Classic Aussie phrase.
Yeah.
Getting out there, boss.
We say that all the time.
It's not that far off. Like wow. And so it's kind of weird to like at the start of it, it feels like it's really trying to beat you over the head, trying a little too hard to be like, hey, all you weirdos out there, this is a really Japanese game.
So is this a Western developed?
It is Japanese developed, which is the weird thing, okay. Yeah. And it just, I don't know, like I was very much looking forward to it, but it's just missing the, you know, the Advance Wars games, like the art design and everything about it, just had this like really nice kind of quirky sort of feel to it. And this is just a bit more, I don't know, it feels a bit, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff on the Switch that is guilty of this, but it feels a little bit iPad-y, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it feels a bit like a kind of an iPad sort of take
Clash
on
of
it.
Heroes type of just like that bland kind of like clan battles, Kingdom of Wars, or that sort of, right.
It just doesn't have a nice, it's just for me, it's just not really appealing enough to slog through it.
Yeah.
But then, so the backstory of it is, it's the guy who did a Kickstarter for a game that he put up in 2012.
Yeah, something like
called
that.
Called Project Phoenix.
Yeah.
Which I think his aim was, so it's Japanese developed RPG feature, like being worked on by a lot of talent that have worked on
the dream team of JRPG. Yeah,
like a composer from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the target was like, 100,000, and it made over a million.
Yeah.
And it is yet to see the light of day.
And he's gone and made this in the meantime.
Well, so they put up a lot of updates on this other thing going like, it's really hard. It's kind of falling apart. A lot of people have left.
Yeah, but then also putting up the occasional like gameplay shot, which is clearly concept art. Like
what's the other one called? Project Phoenix.
Project Phoenix. Right. Yeah. And it's kind of like a isometric or like a Final Fantasy VI, kind of top-down JRPG, kind of like this kind of watercolor arts. Like, it looks great.
What do you think it is about this that made people go so bananas for the Kickstarter? Because I can't quite work out why people are so into the idea of this game existing.
Might just be the timing, because that was around the sort of initial boom of Kickstarter where people were like, anything's possible.
We're
getting all our childhood things back. Here's a new fucking whatever showed up.
It's because like someone from Square is like, I think it's people going like, oh, a Chrono Trigger / Final Fantasy VI that looks amazing and is coming out now. Absolutely. Like that's kind of what it was positioned as.
Like with Mighty No. 9, it was like, here's the Mega Man guy back at it again.
Yeah.
And those watercolor shots do look amazing. It kind of all starts falling apart, and then they're putting updates on the Kickstarter, sort of going, oh yeah, it's all a bit fucked.
We ran out of money was a lot of what they were saying.
Then at the end of...
It doesn't sound like that game's coming out then. Well, that's a pretty big roadblock.
So then this game, Tiny Metal, gets announced at the end of last year. People then find out that it's the same...
At the end of 2016, you mean?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Yeah.
2016, sorry. It gets announced into that, and
into that one.
It then comes out that it's the same guy, and so people then start going, oh, he's just taken the money from this Kickstarter to work on the Tiny Metal game.
And then he's saying, like, I'm going to use the proceeds from Tiny Metal to pour them back into Project Phoenix.
But then people are saying, motherfucker, we already paid you for Project Phoenix. I'm not buying another game to buy this game I've already bought.
Totally. But what he claims is, he claims that Tiny Metal is funded by a bunch of private investors.
Yeah.
Because Tiny Metal had its own Kickstarter and it didn't make its target. So he's maintained, no, this is just, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
This is funded by investors and, the profits will then go back into Project Phoenix.
Well, if that's true, that sounds fair enough.
But then someone who worked on it has done a Facebook post where they've gone, that's not true, he did use Project Phoenix money. It's all very messy and it's kind of muddied the waters of where, that's kind of the prevailing story of this whole game.
And I
didn't know any of that when I got it, and it's just I just don't think it's very good. It's a shame because that sort of thing would be so great on the Switch, and Nintendo have stopped making those games, it'd be good if they should exist because they were fun.
One of them on the Switch would be great.
Well,
that's what Octopath is.
I meant Advance Wars.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But yeah, both of those types of things. There's that Lost Fear coming out soon too.
Right.
Yeah. But Project Phoenix game, it just sounds like it's just never going to see the light of day.
Yeah.
Like, he's lost $1 million and people have walked off it and it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
How do you turn that around?
Yeah. I don't think you do.
Kickstarter as a whole thing seems to be losing a lot of steam.
It's more like kick farter.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Non-starter.
More like dick starter.
Yeah, that's good.
More like fire starter. Twisted fire starter. Bada, 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 bada.
Nice.
Keep saying
there
butter.
You go. No, it was worth it. We got there in the end.
But like that Star Citizen game, I was reading about that made more money last year than every other game Kickstarter combined.
Right.
Still, and I still have no idea what the plan with that thing is.
I think the plan is to just keep selling digital ships
to people.
Never release
again.
Don't
have this game. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. We should do some ads because we've got a couple on this episode.
Hell yeah.
And let's start with the first one, Harry's.
I want to start with the second one. Yeah, okay.
Harry's is sponsoring this episode. They've sponsored a few before. They're fucking awesome. We love them. How does Harry's tie into your New Year's resolution, Tommy? Does it tie into being smarter with your personal finances?
Wait, is this a multiple choice test?
Yeah.
You sort of set it up like it was.
Wait, it's a checkbox test. You can do both.
Okay.
You can be smarter with your personal finances because Harry's can save you about $100 a year if you're a frequent shaver, which is really good. You can also take better physical care of yourself. You know why? Because Harry's is really good and it keeps you looking good and feeling good. So that's ticks both of the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it ticks both boxes.
The two things you care about, money and your looks. Patrick Bateman over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you a psychopath? Then sign up today.
My shaver handle is Bone White.
Harry's My shaver handle is at Shaver69.
That's very funny, Knox.
Thank you.
Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's.
That's Harry's, a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone who plays PUBG.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff and Andy...
What, do Harry sponsor PUBG as well?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Okay.
It's a secret deal. Jeff and Andy were two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blade, so they started Harry's. So if you want to know who started Harry's, if you want to feel a personal connection, and more so than the name being Harry's, the name of a man,
yeah,
Jeff and Andy.
Yep.
They're the two guys.
They wanted to set it up as Jeff and Andy's, but they were misheard when they did, and they were just too uncomfortable to correct the person at the registry office.
Yeah, the registry office. So you can you just get a good razor. It comes down to good blades, and Harry's have the best blades. They're all backed by 100% quality guarantee, so you know it's bloody good. And there's a special offer for Filthy Casuals listeners. Jeff and Andy...
Yep.
They're going to send you a free trial shave set when you sign up at harrys.com/filthycasuals.
Holy shit. Do I have to get them anything?
Just give them a kiss on the lips.
Okay, wow. This is starting to feel like a bit of a poison chalice.
At least I'll be freshly shaved.
It's part of that personal connection. You just... harrys.com/filthycasuals. You get a free trial set. You just got to pay for shipping, which is like $3 or some shit.
Now, look, I don't want that free trial set unless it includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover.
Oh, that's a shame. Wait a minute! It contains all of those things.
Fuck off.
So if you want to get your free trial set and... From that list you just laid out, I believe you do. Go to harrys.com/filthycasuals right now and get it.
While you're there, on the internet, I mean, not at that specific website.
Really strong here, the non-confusing lead-in.
We've got another sponsor this week, a brand new set of people at shipstation.com. Do you sell online, eBay, Amazon, something called Magento?
That is a CMS.
It's also the main villain from X-Men.
Incorrect.
Then you need
that is prejudice.
It's a fast and easy way to manage and dispatch your orders all from one place. You can use ShipStation to compare rates from top couriers, including Royal Mail, FedEx, DHL, and UPS. The big hitters.
I love them DHLs.
It felt like reading out a bunch of really shit wrestlers. Royal Mail, FedEx. And whether you have 100, one or hundreds of orders, ShipStation makes it easy to batch and print labels so you can get orders out quickly and keep your customers happy. I've done a bunch of selling shit on eBay, and it is a real laborious process if you're doing all that shit yourself, buying everything. So having someone who ties all that shit together for you and makes it easy.
I made little comic books that I was posting out to buyers myself, and let me tell you, a fucking nightmare.
Well, ShipStation has a solution for you. It's a popular choice of online sellers. No wonder ShipStation is a popular choice of online sellers across the UK.
Wonder is ShipStation a popular choice of online sellers?
Across the UK? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
UK standing for Ultimate Knox.
Great.
Wow.
Now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days. Plus,
no more bits, Tommy. He's got to get to the end.
What about USA? Ultra sexy Adam.
That's me as well.
All right.
Uganda.
I barely know her.
Guys, Adam, never deny Adam. Ooh. That's what Uganda stands for. Now, you can try ShipStation free for 30 days.
And what is that an acronym of?
A long thing. I'm not going to bother. Plus, you can get a special bonus when you use the promotion code CASUALS. To get the special promotion, just visit the ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in CASUALS. That's ShipStation.com. Then enter the promotion code CASUALS. ShipStation.com. And here's their tagline, make ship happen. And I wanted to point out that there was their tagline because I couldn't have come up with that.
Yeah, that's very good. It's cheeky because it sounds like it could be a swear.
It's a little cheeky.
Yeah.
What would you have come up with?
Come on, cunts.
God.
Send us some shit.
I would have gone, I've just shipped myself.
Oh, okay. Nice.
That's pretty good.
I would have said, easy to use online shipping. No pun in it, but you know, it's... Gets the job done.
So two wonderful sponsors. They are, yeah, they're obviously, they're helping out the show. So if either of those two things are in your wheelhouse, go in there, show them your, you know what? Even if you don't want to shave or send stuff, just go in there anyway.
You know what you do? You get the free trial set of Harry's and then you ship it out to somebody else.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Nice. Sell it on eBay, turn a profit.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of convoluted plan I've just come up with there is a lot like the convoluted plans you come up with in a little game I played over the break called Hitman.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck, this game is good.
Yeah.
This is the episodic...
Yeah. So it's all out now, or like the first season. There's like a Game of the Year edition that has everything all bundled into one.
Where are you playing it? What platform?
On the personal computer.
Oh, okay.
On Steam.
Yeah, right. I guess it would have been pretty cheap on that.
Yeah, I got it during a sale.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool.
Yeah.
I really like it. It's because it's a couple years old now and I've been sleeping on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought it would be stressful.
Right.
Because the idea is you're a hitman. And
Don't let me slow down, buddy.
Confuse anybody here.
Whatever, egghead.
You're going into these really big environments and you got some people you got to kill.
Yeah.
You've got to assassinate them as quietly as possible and get out.
Yeah.
And the whole sort of like clockwork mousetrap sort of thing that it seemed to be, I thought would freak me out a little bit. I get tense.
Right.
But it's got such a sense of humor to it and such a sense of fun about it.
It also, if the moment you fail, you just go boom and you start again.
You can do that, or you can just fucking shoot a bunch of people. It's a heap of fun.
Yeah,
fucking up is fun in that game, which is so important.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed it. The main sort of campaign is quite short.
Yeah.
You can burn through all of the levels quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't really the point of it. You're meant to go back in and mess around with the
There's heaps of trophies and achievements to get of like, do this without doing that. Like a lot of parameters.
And they're set up as these challenges. There's like 100 of them per level.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, dress up as this fucked magician that everybody hates and go into this place and kill this person with a fire axe.
Yeah.
And it seems impossible to do.
Yeah.
But you figure out these weird ways to do it. You explore these really big levels.
Yeah, you like watch the patterns of people moving around and
really intricate sort of like all the little conversations people have in there are really funny.
Yeah.
It's a really, really fun game that I wish I hadn't slept on because there's these temporary contracts. I can't remember what they're called, but they're elusive targets.
Yeah, that's right.
Where they're only up for like a real time week.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And they... or went through all of them once since the release of this game and have started again. So I'm assuming the cycle will go another time.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
And they're like, these things that you get one shot. Are you going to take it or just let it slip? His knees are sweaty. So you replay these levels a bunch of times, but it's really fucking fun to do because there's so much clockwork bullshit going on in there that you can really fuck with it. In a very sad, and it's very gamey, and it's set up to be like, this is a video game. It doesn't have to make sense why this is happening.
Yeah.
This has come up a few times on the show, and every time I hear about it, I think it sounds great and mean to go in. And I just kind of keep forgetting that it's out there.
I'd weirdly watched people play Hitman.
Oh yeah.
Before having played it myself, so I kind of knew about it.
Right.
But it turns out it's really fun to play as well.
Great.
I've been loving it.
It's extremely similar to the first game in the series.
Right.
Which is really, really good.
Yeah, I've never played any of them, really.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. It's even that first one kind of had very advanced physics for its time, and the graphics probably don't hold up, but it's really takes the spirit of that first one and just makes it better and bigger. It's really fun.
I weirdly am really into the story and the characters in there. Like, 47 is this blank slate douchebag, but I kind of like what they do with that.
Right, right.
And it's very light. It's a lot of just like short cutscenes of like, there's a conspiracy going on. And you're like, oh my God, rich people are running the world. Are you fucking kidding me over here?
Yeah.
But it's just goofy enough that it gets you through that sort of bit of tension that it also has.
I think you can also easily just hit skip as soon as a cutscene comes up and you lose nothing from the game. It really is, I think, just like... okay, here's the level, here's the goal, and that's really what the game is in my mind.
It's mainly mechanically fun,
but
I really like how they pepper it with these little just bits of dialogue that are just funny.
Right.
Having that tone got me through the bits that did stress me out a little more.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? That sort of stealthy, everything has to go to plan way of doing it can really freak me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because nothing ever goes to plan, man.
Oof.
Three soldiers die. that's all part of the plan. I watched this movie happening? Over the break.
Basic?
And I've been
was it
really
basic?
Getting into the idea that I might be this character called the Joker.
Oh. Why are you being so serious?
Hitman's great. And the one other thing that you've played, Ben, that I kind of shrugged off at the time.
What?
This was the last thing I spent some time playing. I got really into Cuphead.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That game's fucking sick.
Right. Yeah.
I thought I didn't like it really at first because it was like a little... I just wasn't in the mood for that loop.
Yeah, I think like the first thing you said was kind of like it was really hard and you couldn't figure out if it was because it was annoying or if it was like rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it still goes back and forth between those two things.
Sure, sure.
But the more that you play it, the better you get at it, obviously, and it becomes more fun.
Yeah, yeah. we talked about it off air, I think, and the mechanics are so tight that like if you're good at it, then you're good at it. If you're bad at it, it's because you're bad at it. It's not the game's fault.
Yeah.
It's just a real tight, good shooter.
There's some parts of some of the bosses and stuff where I'm like, that's fucked.
Yeah.
That's fucked that you're doing that to me.
Yeah.
But it's still, that does make it fun to overcome.
In the way that you can appreciate when a plan comes together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you're very clever, you developers.
Yeah.
You got me.
Or are you clever or have you just put 100 things here and it's difficult to dodge 100 right. things, you fucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, those games where you feel like if you, the developer, were playing this, you wouldn't be able to finish it and you created it. You're just like hitting fucking send all on the...
exactly.
Yeah. Whatever, the random button on the... developer's keyboard that they all have.
Yeah. Hitting send all.
That's how games get made. Send all. Send everything out into the game. Not our problem.
Nah, just do it. Yeah. I played a couple more things. I played the second and third episodes of Batman Telltale Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is this character?
How did his parents die?
This guy Batman. I don't like the sound of him so far.
Oh, okay. You feel like maybe you have an urge to fight him?
Fight him, yes. Kill him? No, never.
Because without him, what are you?
What am I? I'm nothing after that.
You just like to cause chaos.
He completes...
the sentence?
Yeah.
So this season actually does feature the Joker, but it's before he becomes the Joker.
Oh, like Gotham.
I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a guy called John Doe who was in Arkham Asylum in the first season.
Yeah.
And... I don't really like it. I liked the first episode of this season and then the second two. They put you in this position, which I hate. I hate when like TV shows
Doggy.
Do it. No, missionary.
Nobody hates Doggy.
Yeah.
True, fair.
Where you're like the lead character and you're like undercover. And so the whole time you're like trying to get in good with the crims and you're like acting kind of not like the actual character that you usually are.
Okay. Right. Yep.
And also, this is a Telltale thing, I think. I think it happens in the other games. I know it happens in, like, Wolf Among Us, where you're making all these hard choices while undercover, and you know they're going to come back to bite you in the ass. Like, you're siding with the criminals because you need to get on their good side, but you're saying something rude to your assistant. You're fucking up the relationship with the daughter of the other character.
I also hate that.
And you just know that that's the position you've been put in, and there's no... so way you can get out of it.
Right, it's giving you the choice, but it's still making you... It's meant to be like you have the choice, but it's making you do that when you're like, well, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It always feels like lazy writing when a character fucks up his life because, well, I had to be undercover. Right. Or like in Face Off, when the whichever one's which way ever round goes into Nick Cage's wife's house and he's like a dick to her. Because he's the villain. But she doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like that's a very lazy way of making conflict.
Yeah. But like the example is like you're trying to get in with Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
But she wants... And so she's like, let's go to Wayne Manor and let's...
Do the voice.
No, Puddin.
He considered it.
Yeah. No, they go to Wayne Tower to do something.
Right.
And she's like, well, I'm going to hit this guard. And you got to be like, either don't hit the guard, but that fucks up your undercover mission. Or you're like, yeah, hit the guard. But you know that that guard's going to like be your enemy later on because you let him hit. Like, it's just that awful position of like, you can see the strings being pulled.
Right. Yeah.
So that's been really annoying. And I just don't think the story's as good in this season, which is a real shame.
Right.
I don't know. But there's two more. Maybe it could be good in the end. I don't know. But I've also started playing Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of other people start to rave about this game in like a real, like, the story, the way it's told, the kind of emotions that it somehow derives out of this
big dumb piloting robot, a
mech around is really, really effective. And so far, it's just fun to play.
Yeah,
and right. And I'm digging it. So I'm kind of really, really excited to play through this and see where it could possibly go that's going to be that cool.
Adam Trendsetter Knox.
That game is great, and it just controls really well. It feels really good to move around. Like, it really does. The multiplayer of that is still one of the best of the last few years in terms of shooters. It's that team now has been, I think, moved on to some Star Wars game, possibly.
Right.
So the idea of a Titanfall 3 is maybe a little up in the air, so who knows?
Right. But that team making a good Star Wars game, hey, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
sweet. Yeah.
And maybe they'll make a Titanfall 3. I don't know. I can't predict the future.
What about next week?
Craig David is going to have a hell of a week until Sunday. Then he's going to take it easy.
Okay. I like it.
I want to give a quick mention to a book that I read, a graphic novel that I read a couple of months ago now. It's by a guy called Box Brown, and it's the history of Tetris and how Tetris kind of got made and then was the subject of a pretty complex legal battle between, because like, basically, like, three different people had been promised the rights at once, and this was at a time before, you know, internet and fast communication.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty...
Everyone talked like this.
What is this?
Yeah,
There's no fast communication. It's 1934.
Kill me now. Just kill me.
Oh, little girl voice. I like it.
So it's pretty, like, on paper, it is quite a dull story.
It's literally on paper.
Litigation and, you know, contracts and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it's a testament to this guy, Box Brown, and his skill at crafting a story that he actually makes it interesting. He does a really good thing of, like, breaking down the characters and really getting across the stakes.
What's
and
his name?
Box Brown.
Oh, you always get one of them when you want a straight line Brown. Fun Tetris joke. Continue.
Oh, I get it.
It's yeah, I got it.
I've got another one for later on too.
Okay.
About what?
Yeah.
Are you just hoping I say the name?
Book, when you finished reading the book, did you put it in the shelf or did the rest of your books disappeared?
Oh. You should have saved that for later, man.
Nah, I just got it out there now so I can go home and never do this again.
But yeah, I would recommend checking that out. You can find it in a lot of comic. It's in a lot of comic book shops or it's on Book Depository. A great read and a very interesting story. And
so what's the sort of graphic novel visual element to it?
I mean, it really is. Like, hearing about it, you go, this sounds like it's going to be boring as all shit. But it's just like he kind of, I guess just the way he's condensed these kind of like boardroom fights over, you know.
So is it like a fictionalized version of this story, kind of like a...
Clearly condensed it. Yeah, it's scenes happening. And it's clearly like the way he's made the characters talk and the language he's used, he's just made it very snappy. So there are a couple of bits where you sort of find yourself having to go back and go, fuck, I've lost track of who all these players are.
Right.
But it's well illustrated. He's got a really simple style. Mm. It's just like, it's like three colours, so it's like very distinct looking. Mm. And yeah, what happened to those two Russian guys who kind of were the start of it? The whole thing that they go through and the ending is pretty full on.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a great read. I'd really recommend it to anyone who's got a passing interest in comics. And yeah, just an interesting look at a whole kind of dispute that just sort of would not happen now because of the way that, you know, the way that things are handled and the internet speeding things up. It really is of a different... Like, people literally going, I need to get to the bottom of this. Oh, well, there's nothing to do but just fly to Russia, I guess.
Yeah,
like, that's
right.
The only way business can get done is, like, people constantly
fuck.
Flying across the world to talk to each other to work out this little puzzle game. But, great read.
Awesome.
Sick.
Yeah. I think that brings us pretty much to the end of this episode.
Yeah.
A little recap of what we've been doing over our break.
Why did you put it that way?
This is a fun way to talk.
So we're going to catch up. I'm going to finish Doki Doki Literature. Mm. I will try and play Edith Finch.
What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say, what's eating Edith Finch? We did a call out in the Patreon group today for this, but people are more than welcome to send us their own. We think next week we'll read through some reviews of what you, the listeners, played over the summer.
Yep.
Or winter.
Oh, yes, yeah. Winter, if it's that part of the world, over the
or
holiday.
Or spring,
over the, well,
if they're time travellers.
Mm-hmm. Or like autumn.
Yes.
Over the over the holiday break.
Season that will come after the nukes are dropped.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it'll be called?
Noxmania.
No. It'll be something horrible. It'll be like, you know, reckoning or something.
Yeah,
like
or
that.
Political yeah. correctness.
So, yes. Feel free to send us through. We did say on the Facebook that we are, you know, specifically looking for anyone who, you know, but stuff that we haven't already mentioned a million times
yeah.
on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely any hot takes that you want to send us, email address filthycasualspod
yeah.
@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Or just through Facebook or whatever. And we'll get through some of those next week. Already some that have popped up that are, yeah. Some people have done some real deep diving.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
ones that are pretty interesting to talk about.
Yep.
And you can, of course, just send those through if you want and make a mention if you don't want us to read them out. If
yeah.
you just want to know that your three little mates have seen it.
Yeah.
So all our social media stuff, we are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, we have a Patreon, which you can subscribe
yeah.
to, and it is greatly appreciated if you would like to chip in, and we send out bonus content pretty regularly.
Yeah.
All that stuff can be found at filthycasuals.com.au.
If you're curious about what we're going to talk about next on our Patreon bonus, it's going to be Abe's Odyssey.
Mm.
So if you're a big Abe's Odyssey fan, you want to jump on board now,
yeah.
now is the time.
Yes, definitely do that.
Big Abe. I liked just the word, hearing the words Big and Abe next to each other. Coming down to Big Abe's truck warehouse.
Yeah. So, yeah, all that stuff. Also, yeah, our comedy festival shows happening in Melbourne for
yeah.
the month of a little bit of March and most of April.
March
yeah.
29th they start,
right.
I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, come check that out. And thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Butter, I barely know her. I don't know why it's talked about butter so much.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.